5:20, and this is the KDLL Evening News for Monday, June 29th, on 91.9 FM, Kenai Soldotna, listener-supported public radio for the Central Kenai Peninsula. I'm Ashlyn O'Hara. Thanks for tuning in. Coming up, a commercial fishing boot camp in Petersburg equips the next generation of Alaska's commercial fishermen. But first, the Kenai Senior Center's Meals on Wheels program is getting a sort of facelift thanks to a pair of grants. Kenai City Council members earlier this month signed off on roughly $2,000 in grants that the center will use to replace the meal delivery bags used for its Meals on Wheels program. The first grant from the Kenai Peninsula Foundation totaled around $700. The second is a matching grant through the Alaska Community Foundation for around $1,400. Kenai Mayor Henry Nakstedt says the bags are more high-tech than they sound.
And these aren't just paper sacks. They are special bags for keeping things hot and cold and for transporting. So very, very necessary.
The Senior Center's Home Delivered Meals program brings hot meals into the homes of Kenai seniors 5 days per week. Governor Mike Dunleavy told lawmakers last Thursday he had vetoed six bills, including a ban on styrofoam food service packaging. Meanwhile, dozens more have passed into law over the past few weeks, including a crime bill that raises Alaska's age of consent to 18. Alaska Public Media's Eric Stone has this look at some highlights.
The sponsor of the styrofoam banning bill, Democratic Anchorage Representative Andy Josephson, says he's not surprised Dunleavy nixed it.
The fact that he vetoed the polystyrene bill is just, it's not even a moment to take notice of, particularly. It's just so anticipated.
The bill would have banned restaurants and the state from using disposable polystyrene containers. Think of the styrofoam to-go boxes you see waiters handing out for leftovers or packing up for DoorDash. The bill was a priority for environmental groups, and it passed with some crossover support from minority Republicans. Josephson says Alaska's contribution to global plastics pollution is small, but its long coastline means the state feels an outsized impact. In his veto message delivered Thursday, Dunleavy said the bill's 2027 effective date created an unrealistic implementation timeline for the switch. Josephson says lawmakers likely won't seek an override since the bill passed with less than a veto-proof majority. The styrofoam ban is just one of 18 bills from the 2026 regular session Dunleavy has vetoed so far in his last year as governor. Josephson says it's, quote, absurd.
I think it reflects his belief that he couldn't move the state as governor. He couldn't advance the state in the way he wanted. And so this is sort of the outlet for that.
Another vetoed bill a week earlier came from Juneau Democratic Senator Jesse Keel, basically saying that software providers can't lock the state into using their own proprietary cloud services.
The software provider shouldn't decide what cloud we pay for. Alaskans should decide that based on price and quality and speed and security and all the other things you want your IT department looking into so that you and I don't have to.
It passed by a wide margin, with 46 out of 60 lawmakers voting for it. Keel says he worked closely with the administration to tweak the bill as it moved through the legislature.
The administration asked for a few clarifications and one little safety release valve, and I put all those in the bill. Every single word they asked for, I put in the bill, and then the governor vetoed it. So here we are.
Dunleavy told lawmakers the restriction would limit the state's access to software and increase costs, but Keel says that's exactly the problem the bill was trying to solve. Lawmakers elected earlier this month not to attempt an override. Meanwhile, dozens more bills have become law in recent weeks, including a crime bill raising the age of consent to 18. Dunleavy allowed the bill to come into law without formally signing it in mid-June. Anchorage Democratic Representative Andrew Gray has pushed to raise the age for years and calls it a landmark achievement.
I am confident that we are going to take a bite out of that terrible, terrible, terrible number, which is the high rate of sexual assault in Alaska, by protecting 16 and 17-year-olds.
Dunleavy also allowed another bill Gray backed to become law in recent weeks, a bill offering municipalities the option to provide property tax incentives aimed at boosting the supply of housing. Those include possible exemptions for owner-occupied homes, short-term rentals converted to long-term rentals, first-time homebuyers, affordable housing, and more. Gray says it's a long-time priority for him.
one time when I was door knocking, I had a gentleman tell me that he owned 7 homes in Anchorage and he was, you know, Airbnb-ing 6 of them. Well, yeah, he can get a property tax exemption on his owner-occupied home, but not the other 6.
The bill doesn't create the exemption statewide. It just gives local governments the option to do so. Another bill that passed into law, sponsored by Eagle River Republican Representative Jamie Allard, provides what she calls a deaf and hard of hearing children's bill of rights. Allard says she's struggled with hearing issues since she was a child, and she says the bill gives parents a greater say in how schools deal with their deaf or hard of hearing children.
And one of the examples would be like, yeah, I know you say that my child learns better with maybe reading lips, and I'm going to tell you right now they need an interpreter. And so the parent can be the ultimate decision maker saying, no, they need an interpreter.
Allard says she's been pursuing the concept since 2023. The bill passed the House and Senate unanimously. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Eric Stone.
And finally, commercial fishing is a huge contributor to Alaska's economy, and commercial fishermen are always looking for new deckhands to join their crew. In Petersburg earlier this month, Alaska Sea Grant organized a commercial fishing boot camp for middle and high schoolers. KFSK's Baez Hohen attended the camp and has this story.
By the way, tell people it's a drill. It's a drill.
It's a rainy Tuesday at the John Hansen Senior Community Hall in Petersburg, and a group of 6 teenagers are putting out a fire.
You ever used a fire extinguisher before?
One time. It was not about a fire.
It's actually a fire drill. And the fire? Red plastic cups.
Jason, I want you to stack this up and make it look like a fake fire. Sure.
That's Gabe Dunham. He's a Sea Grant fisheries specialist. This boot camp is a 3-day-long course for teens, designed to give them an intro to the basic skills and safety precautions they'll need to know if they get a job in the seafood industry. Dunham leads the group through the steps for using a fire extinguisher.
Pull the pin.
Then he tells Tavin Cabral and Mason Knudsen, who were the first volunteers, to narrate their steps.
I'm bending down to pick up the fire extinguisher. It's a fire drill. It's a drill.
Wait, hold on, I gotta pull it. Yes. Pull the pin, and shoot.
And it's back inside for a debrief.
I remember on day one, I said sometimes drills are hard because they're awkward, right?
The boot camp was organized by Dunham and Sunny Rice, who both work for Alaska Sea Grant. It's an organization that helps to provide education, research, and outreach to coastal communities across Alaska. Rice is the Sea Grant rep based here in Petersburg, and this is the second year she's run the boot camp. She says they based the course on feedback they got from commercial fishermen.
We had a lot of conversations about what do fishermen see as needs for the commercial fishing industry. And so one of those was we need crews and we need the crew to have certain skills.
Over the course of 3 days, students learn how to tie knots, de-escalate conflict between crewmates, and even how it feels to be taxed after a fishing season.
You owe a tax person 24%.
One of the key things that Rice and Dunham want to highlight is how many different jobs there are in the seafood industry. Roles like fishery manager, harbor staff, and lobbyist.
The commercial seafood industry requires or needs a lot of different kinds of jobs. So even if a lot of these kids that we taught today may not go forward to be commercial fishing business owners, that doesn't mean they might not be involved in the industry in some way or another.
On the last day of the boot camp, Rice and Dunham take the group down to Petersburg's North Harbor for the most anticipated drill of the week, the person overboard retrieval drill. This time, Dunham is taking one for the team. What are we about to go do?
I'll throw Gabe in the water.
Okay, now let's talk through our drill before I hop in the water.
At the edge of the dock, he puts on an immersion suit and walks the students through an acronym on how to rescue him.
Starts with an A.
Alert, point, throw, and maneuver.
I'm not really interested in getting all that wet today.
He jumps in, makes sure they narrate their steps.
I forgot to say, this is a drill.
And then Dunham is saved.
Oh, you're saving me.
This is a drill.
There's the boat, thank God.
Even for a group of hard-to-please young people, like Nora Smith. What did you think, Nora?
The bell I saw.
The drill is a success.
Good job, everybody. Give yourselves a hand. You guys retrieved me really well.
In Petersburg, I'm Baez Hohen.
And that'll be all for tonight's KDLL Evening News. We had help from Eric Stone in Juneau. and from Bays Hohen in Petersburg. You can re-listen to this newscast and find our other stories online at kdll.org. I'm Ashlyn O'Hara. Have a great night.
KDLL Board of Directors meets at 5:30 p.m. the second Thursday of the month at KDLL Studios in the Kenai Peninsula Economic Development District building in Kenai and over Zoom. Meetings are open to the public. If you have an item you'd like to submit for board consideration, email info@kdll.org, or if you're interested in joining the board, call 907-513-1996.